Okay, we can get this started. If you guys have any questions, raise your hand, I'll call on you.
All right, we're done.
You're free. Matt.
Hey Scott, how are you?
I'm doing great, how are you guys doing?
Good. So Bob has said that you guys are sort of waiting probably for a couple of turns through the rotation for us to start working in some of the starters, the main starters, but what sort of work are those guys able to do getting in right now on the backfields? How are you still trying to build them up without actually pitching in games yet?
Well, you know, every year, generally the starters will always get one minor league game. And generally it's kind of like maybe their third outing or their fourth outing, so we can build their pitch count a little bit. This year, you kind of look at the guys that we got, the returners that we have, and we got a lot of guys that we're all anticipating who the starters are. So it makes it a lot easier earlier to build their pitch count because you're not taking that they have to fight for a job attitude a little bit. You know, you kind of know who our rotation is penciled in, and so basically, they're just getting one more extra type sim game. Our guys have gone 3-40. So their next sim game next turn, they'll be about 4-50, 55. And then once they jump in the rotation around the 11th or the 10th, then, we're ready for 55 pitches in real competition against real hitters. But they've all done a great job of building their pitch count, working on certain pitches that they need to be working on. You know, when you're out in a real game, sometimes you don't want to work on a pitch that's not very good for you because you're worried about, you know, showing off a little bit and what you can do and get outs. But these guys, you know, they're taking these sim games really seriously. And, you know, Darren Bush, our hitting coach, loves it as well because a lot of guys are getting a lot of at-bats every day, whether it's in a real game or in a sim game.
So obviously, there's been a lot of talk about just the going from a 60-game season to a full 162. Are you guys approaching building the starters up any differently this spring because of that?
You know, I've heard all that talk about, you know, worrying about last year, but there's no data out. I mean, somebody would have to really give me some data to support why we should look into guys not throwing as many innings as they did in 19. I haven't seen any data. No one's presented me any data. It's almost like a little short rest. And like I've said to some of you before, they were throwing throughout the pandemic. So it wasn't like they took a year off. These guys, you know, were pitching in the summertime, whether it was at their local facilities and throwing. I feel very confident in our guys going out there and, you know, getting to the mound fresh is what, you know, obviously we want them to do. But that's every year, monitoring their workload, not only in the game, but in the bullpen, and especially with relievers, monitoring their work in between and talking to them and seeing how fresh they are. And that's the number one goal, is get these guys on the mound fresh.
Martin.
Hey, Scott. Good to see you again.
Good seeing you.
I wanted to ask you about Yusmeiro Petit coming back. I know everyone was excited to get him back, it seems like. How would you describe just kind of the respect he gets and the admiration he gets in that clubhouse, especially among the pitchers? It seems like whether it's a vet or a young guy, they all kind of admire his presence and his journey.
Well, if you guys remember that E.F. Hutton commercial, you know, E.F. Hutton, and you're listening, you know, when this guy talks, people are listening. You know, he's like the rock in that bullpen. He brings us many different roles. He's very versatile in what he can do. You know, whether it's a middle relief, long guy, setup type guy, come in and get the inning over with guy. He's just an amazing guy that can fill a lot of gaps. And, you know, I'm just so lucky, and we are just so lucky to have him on our team to be able to do any type of role, and uses one of the best prepared pitchers I've ever seen. Yeah, meaning, you know, every day, you know, we talk and we're asking our pitchers how you're feeling today. And you know the verbiage. If he tells me I feel okay, that probably means we should shy away from him. But, I mean, this is what Hughes does all the time. He gives you the thumbs up sign. You know, there's times where I got to tell him, hey, I think we've used it too much. You're down today. and he'll agree. But this guy wants the baseball every day, and he leads by example. He might not be the biggest talker, you know, the bunch, but he leads by example, and it's fun to watch him be that leader by example.
Would you say he's kind of like a last of the dying breed type? I mean, you see so many times in bullpens now. I mean, these guys throwing, you know, high 90s, and this guy's throwing 88, 89 and going multi-innings and so durable. Is he kind of a rare type nowadays?
Well, I personally think the guys that are throwing 95 to 100 are going to be the dying breed because they don't know how to pitch as much. You know, there's a lot that do, but if you look at sustainable relievers, they're guys that know how to pitch. And you want them to throw 95 to 100 and be able to pitch. But if they throw 95 to 100 and 1 year they get guys out and the next year they can't get guys out, they're not sustainable. But if you can throw strikes and throw quality strikes like Hughes does, he's sustainable. He helps teams. And, you know, the relievers that come in throw 95 to 100 and they throw 27, 28 pitches an inning, in the long run, you're hurting the team, you know. So, you know, it's our job to get those guys that throw 95 to 100 to be good, sustainable relievers so they last longer. And when they're in games, they're throwing less than 20 pitches, so we feel good about them in multiple day, you know, the next day. You know, anybody over 25 pitches, you start sweating nowadays, wondering if he can pitch the next day. But with Hughes, you know, he's economical with his pitches. He's generally under 20 pitches. He's always ready to go the next day. So, you know, I think that, you know, I like looking at those things. And then the guys that might be shoveling themselves out of the game are the guys that throw 95 to 100 for one season, and they're not sustainable pitchers for the next. And in my opinion, that's why you always say, you know, bullpens flip all the time. That's because some guys just all they care about is velocity, and 1 year they're good and the next year they're out the door.
Manolo?
Hola, amigo. ¿Cómo estás?
Ah, muy bien. Muchas gracias. ¿Cómo te sientes?
Muy bien. Gracias. Wow. I'm guessing one of the things you like most about this part of the Cactus League is the chance to see the guys that were new to the athletics. Like the guy is pitching today called Irvin. Could you talk a little bit about some of those new guys? What are some of the things you have get the better impression of in the first 3 weeks of the camp?
Yeah, it's great. You know, you're starting to, you know, see guys that you've, you know, you saw on video all off season. Irvin's got a nice little sinker changeup combo, nice little breaking ball. Seems to be a guy that throws a lot of strikes. He throws a lot of strikes in his BPs and his mound progression so far. You got Acevedo coming over from the Yankees, who's been a big arm before with the Yankees, and trying to get him back on track to where everybody thought he would be, you know, one of those outstanding prospects. You got Angulo, who is, you know, has got a really good arm and a nice breaking ball. Blackham, a nice breaking ball. But what's also good right now, you know, as we're slowing our quote unquote starters down a little bit, is getting the opportunity to look at a Dunchy, a Caprillion, a Grant Holmes, and a Howard, and those type of guys as well, who can get some more innings in the first, you know, 10 days that you might not have been able to give them in the past. So, you know, it's a great combination to be able to get our starters building their pitch counts and then being able to see guys you don't get to see in regular competition as much.
Yeah, when you talk about the starters, you know, they haven't getting a chance to throw some more pitches to be able to throw 55 when they start for the first time. You have a guy there, AJ Puck, who's coming out of a season, you know, with an operation and everything. How tough it is to try to build him up as a starter, and also considering that he might be pitching out of the pen?
Well, yeah, you know, we're just trying to get AJ going. You know, he's going to face some hitters, I believe, Friday. And we'll evaluate how many days rest in between we think he needs. That's where the communication's going to come in. And AJ will go out there, and, you know, I think it's Friday. We got penciled in to throw. And we'll just build them. Generally, we like to build our pitchers 15 to 20 pitches in between regular outings. And we'll just keep building AJ the best we can as we move to spring training, get his feedback after every game and after a day rest. We'll see how he's feeling. And, you know, like there's always options, you know. I really can't answer where he's going to be penciled in because we got to watch the guy pitch first. But so far, what his work that he's been doing has been awesome. I'm really impressed at what he's doing. He's very confident. That makes it even better. So, you know, we'll get through Friday and see where we're at on Saturday with him.
Shana?
My question sort of piggybacks off Manolo's. Just about the rotation in general, obviously we're a couple weeks away from starting to see a clear picture on that, but you have a couple names that could fit into that, and Lizardo, Manaya, Fires, Puck, all that. So six names, how do you sort of go into deciding how to narrow that into five names? Or are you considering a six-man rotation, or what are the contributing factors and how much does Puck's development play into that?
You know, I think AJ's development will play into it and see where he's at. We haven't had any discussions as of now on a six-man rotation. You know, we've you know, always thought about five traditional with six guys options. You know, as you guys know, you know, as the season goes on, you're going to need, you know, 10 starters or eight starters. There's always going to be room for starters. So it's always good to have some depth. That doesn't mean one guy can't be in the bullpen and be a long guy. And then if something happens, just fill the starting rotation. You don't really necessarily have to go down to AAA if you got a guy in your bullpen that's being stretched out as well. So I think, you know, we'll play it out. We'll play spring training out. You know, we got great front office. They'll make their determinations on what they want to do. And then, but, you know, like you said, Puck's availability will play into any decision, whether he starts, whether he relieves, or whether anybody starts or relieves.
Alex?
Scott, it seemed like last spring training, as AJ Puck started ramping up to 100% effort in games, is kind of when he started to feel a little bit of pain. And I was curious, you know, obviously we haven't gotten to the point where we're seeing him in games yet, but do you have any reason for optimism? You know, I know that he had this procedure last September, but are you just from your perspective as it stands right now, is there, do you notice anything different about him health-wise? Any reason for optimism as to why it might be different as he starts ramping up to 100%?
Well, I always got that in the back of your mind about, okay, can he do this? You know, it's one thing to be on paper and be called the starter and be called a 100 pitch guy or 120 pitches, but it's another to go out and do it. And, you know, that's where we need the honesty from him. You know, how you're feeling at 35, 40 pitches. You know, what's great in today's game is, you know, we have the StatCast information, we have the TrackMan information, and we can compare that information to last year. Okay, so last year at maybe 50 pitches, he started breaking down a little bit. His spin rate starts going down a little bit. His, you know, horizontal and vertical breaks are getting different. So you just compile all the data and we can look at the data and determine, okay, you break down a little bit, your pitches break down in this certain area. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we monitor on everybody, and AJ's no different.
Matt?
Where do you want the starters to be by the first week of games in terms of like pitch count, innings that they can potentially go in that first turn?
They should be relatively ready for 100 pitches. You know, usually you get around 95 to 105. You know, our guys aren't going to be behind. In reality, they're actually going to be ahead when they start their fourth game. So, you know, on the pitch count, we're going to be a little bit ahead of the game. But sometimes, you know, you throw that 90 in spring training, 95, your last game in spring training, you probably want that to be the first game in Oakland as well. Some point in time, you got to double. I like to double up the pitch count after 75.
And so just to clarify, I mean, it sounds like you guys are sort of approaching the season thinking that it's going to be pretty standard, pretty similar in terms of just how you're handling the rotation with five guys and the regular you know, pitch count, at least going in. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's fair to say. I mean, we're treating this season like no, you know, like any other 162 season, you know, and I think that's the way it should be. I mean, like I said earlier, I haven't seen any quantitative data to support, you know, a six-man rotation or a seven-man rotation or skipping guys. I mean, you know how it is in the world when one side studies one thing, another side studies another thing, and they're two different, you know, they study the exact same thing, but you're getting two different answers all the time. So, you know, I haven't seen any studies out there that support, you know, where we have to slow people down for this.
Simone?
It looks like you have a lot of, sorry, what?
No, I was going to say, maybe we got to get through the season and then we can have the data, you know?
So you have a lot of position players who can play the infield and the outfield, and there's multiple this year. Was there a discussion to maybe have more pitchers on than 13 this year? Was that a discussion at all?
The last I heard, you could have a 14th pitcher. I know at one point in time, when we were going to play with 26 last year, you could still only have 13 pitchers. So I do believe that the rules do allow us to have 14 and 12 if we'd like. You know, I can't answer that question whether we're going to have 14 or 13 pitchers, but if the rules allow us to have 14, I'm sure that, you know, some teams will do it, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe there might be a thought of it for us as well if the roster lines up the way we need it.